Exodus chapter number 3, we're going to start with verse number 1. Let's all stand if you would please in reverence and respect to the Word of God. Then we'll sit down for a little while, give you a chance to stretch just a little bit before we sit for the preaching of the Word of God. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flocks to the backside of the desert. And it came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. I want to talk on this subject this morning. The refining of Moses. Moses is just a person like you and me. Moses knew early in his life that God had called him to serve him. Moses misunderstood that call somewhat and took matters into his own hands. We're going to talk a little bit about that. So God had to refine Moses to get him to the place where God could use him and become the great man that we know chapters later, and the deliverer or the leader of the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, over towards the promised land. And that only occurred because God needed to refine some things in Moses. God needs to refine some things in you and me. And I think we can learn a lesson from what we see here in Moses. So let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd meet with us. And I ask that you'd flow through me to your people. I don't want to say what I think. I want to say what you teach in your word. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you control my lips, control my mind as I speak for you. And then Lord, I ask that you control us as we hear. That we'd have ears of the Spirit. And we'd hear and apply the truths to the things that you would apply them to in our own personal lives. Again, Lord, I ask that you hide me behind the cross and you speak through your servant, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We see in our text that God brought Moses to the land of Midian for a great purpose. Here, in that land, God was going to do some refining work that needed to be done in Moses. Moses' heart had to be developed. He had to become the great spiritual leader. But you don't automatically be a great spiritual leader from birth. God trains us. God refines us. God nourishes us. And God teaches us how to become the servants that He intends for you and I to be. So God's going to do some refining work in Moses' hearts. Why was Moses in the desert to begin with? Well, he was receiving more schooling. He was going to God's school instead of man's school. Now, he was brought up in Egypt. He was brought up as one of Pharaoh's children. He was brought up with a great education. He also was brought up to know that somehow in his life, God had a purpose for his life. And may I say to everyone in this room today, God has a purpose for your life. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done in the past. God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for my life. He has a purpose for your life. Your purpose and my purpose aren't identical. They're similar in many ways in that they all are controlled within the will of God. It's all according to the Word of God. It's all according to how we yield to the Word of God. It's all according to how we yield to God's Spirit as He leads us in His training program. But the truth is that each one of us have a different purpose, but all of us have a purpose. As a result, all of us then must be trained through God's Word and a relationship with God of what our purpose is for. Not everybody will fulfill their purpose when they're young. Not everyone will fulfill their purpose when they're middle-aged. Some people don't get to even know what their full purpose is until they're elderly. Moses is not a young man here. Moses was 40 years old when he was in Egypt and thought God had told him to deliver the nation of Israel, and he slew an Egyptian who was mistreating two Israelites. But then he found out at the age of 40 that is not how God intended for him to deliver Israel, was not through murder. So he fled from the face of the Pharaoh, and he fled to the desert land. He fled to the location where he meets his wife, the Midianite area. And he flees there. And as he's hiding there, he continues to age. Now, 40 years after being in the desert, now he's 80 years old. This is when he sees that burning bush. So this isn't in the prime of his life. He's finding out from God that he has a purpose that's different from what he thought at the age of 80. Not a young man. Very experienced, yes. Has collected much knowledge over his life, correct. But God wanted to zero in on his life. So some folks at an early age are called. When I received Christ as my Savior at the age of 21, God called me to be a preacher. I knew it shortly after I got saved. I mean within weeks after I got saved. Within a month or two after I received Christ as my Savior, I surrendered to the will of God. And I immediately started upon the path that God had called me to. But not everybody is me. Moses and me were not the same. But we both have a purpose. Moses was to deliver the Israelites. Mine is to preach the gospel. Everybody's supposed to be a preacher of the gospel. Some are to be soul winners. Some are going to win folks to Christ at the altars. And some are going to win folks to Christ at their homes. And some are going to reach thousands of people like a Billy Graham did. And through his revival meetings that he held around the world, like a Billy Sunday did, like a D.L. Moody did, like a John R. Rice did, where they had great, great meetings of revival, and multitudes came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then there's going to be some of us that are going to lead our children to Christ. And there's going to be some of us that just lead our grandchildren to Christ. And there's going to be some of us that may lead our great-grandchildren to Christ. But all of us have the purpose of leading someone to Christ. And we just got to find out who they are and execute what God's purpose has been in our life. So God had to refine Moses to get him to the place where he needed to be. He was in God's school of character development. Many times God will bring a Christian through similar trials and tribulations in our life for this purpose, to refine us, to develop us, to develop our faith and our character to carry out the will that God has for you and me. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to quote for you out of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6. If you want to turn there, you may. But let me read it to you. Wherein we greatly rejoice through now, for a season. If need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So here we see that why do temptations and trials and difficulties come? Because God is there to teach us something through those things so that we might help someone who follows us. So God says that we need this. In fact, in verse number 7, the next verse it says, "And the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory, honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." So God tells us here very simply that there are reasons that He's allowing us to go through these manifold temptations, why He's allowing us to go through these trials and tribulations. He's using them to groom you and me. He's using them to help you and me. He's using them to teach character development and to receive a faith, to cause our faith to grow, to be refined through the heat or the heartache that comes to our life? What circumstances will God use in your life or in my life to refine us? Well, I don't know. And you may not know. But they're there. Notice what God used in Moses' life. When Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh to the desert land of Midian, he had no one he could turn to. He lost his parents. He lost his mom and dad that were Israelites. He lost his adopted mother that was Pharaoh's daughter. He lost his grandfather who was the Pharaoh, or adopted grandfather. He lost his home. He lost his riches. He lost his property. He lost what he thought his future was. He also lost the form of income he has. Now he has no income. So he lost everything. He runs out. They don't have cell phones then. They don't have pay phones then. They don't have landlines then. There's no communication with home. He's alone. He's by himself. He's in a strange land. He may be 40 years old, but he's still in a strange land. I don't know about you, but there have been places where it has been a strange land for me to be someplace in this country, and I'm kind of nervous. I'm kind of afraid. There are places in this nation that if I went to, I ran to all alone by myself, I'd need help. Amen. I would need help. And so would you. So God allows tribulations and trials to come into our life that we cannot handle ourselves, so that we'll look to Him, because Moses only had one that he could go to, and that was God. And that's exactly what Moses does. So 40 years on the backside of the desert, God is working with Moses. He's teaching Moses. He has no job, so he has to find out how to get a job in a foreign land. He has no future. What he thought he was supposed to do, deliver the children of Israel, he's not even near the children of Israel now. How is he ever going to do what he thought God had called him to do? God was teaching him that in everything that we do, we have to fully depend upon God, not depend on what we think is best. Man, that's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? So often, we try to do what we think is right. This is what I think, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how it's going to come out. Except here's how it goes. This is what I think, this is what I'm going to do, and man, did I make a mess. Amen? It happens so often in everyday, ordinary people's lives. Because we're not willing to do what Moses was doing. Moses had no one else to go to. So he had to fully depend upon God. And he had to learn to fully trust in God. So as he went to get a job, he said, God, how can I get a job? I'm an Israelite that looks like an Egyptian coming out to the desert out here, and how am I supposed to get a job? So he had to depend on God to get him an income. He had to depend on God to get him a family. He had to depend on God to build up his future. And ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that God allows you and I to go through trials and tribulations in our life because He's trying to teach us and refine us and make us pure for Him. I have on my finger two golden rings. One is a 10-carat ring. And one is a 14-carat gold ring. Now, one's bigger than the other. The 10-carat gold ring means that it's not as pure gold. It's got more gunk in it, other materials in it. It's not as pure gold as the 14-carat gold ring is. Now, when I bought the 14-carat gold ring, I thought it was a 10-carat gold ring, and I ended up with a deal, because I thought it wasn't as, but I found out it was 14-carat gold. That means it was put through more fire. It was put through more refining. And it got more of the dross out of it, is what it's called. It means gunk. The gunk. Other minerals, other products. So it's more pure gold. You can buy a 24-carat gold ring, and boy, that's more pure. That's a real pure gold. Now, that's not pure gold, but it's a real purified gold. And the value of a 10-carat gold ring versus a 24-carat gold ring is huge in a difference. Is that right? Why? Because one is more refined. God says, I want to make something more of your life. I want to give your life a greater value. I want your life to be more used by me, more powerful in the lives of other people. So I'm going to put you through a fire, through a difficulty, through a hard time, so that during that difficulty, that hard time, that fire, I can pull the dross out of your life, the crud that gets in you and I. The world that brings that garbage into our life. So I can pull that garbage out so that I as a Christian and I as a dad and I as a husband and I as a grandpa and I as a preacher and I as a Christian can do more for Jesus Christ than I could before because I've been refined. My life's been made purer. My vision of understanding of what God wants me to do becomes clearer. Because he pulled out more of the garbage that the world has put in. I've been saved now for 37 years, I believe. Or it will be 37 years in November, I believe. It's true. Or completed 37 years. I don't know. Something close to that. And can I be honest with you? For these 37 years, I'm still fighting every day to get the world out of me. I'm still fighting every day to pull off more of the crud that the world keeps flinging on me. It took not very long in my life to get filled with garbage. And ever since I've been saved, God's been trying to refine me and refine me and refine me and refine me. And sometimes it's good and he pulls off the dross and I go, wow, I'm closer to the Lord. But then it seems like I jump right back in the garbage again. And I got to have that refining done all over again. Kind of like a pig. They say you can wash a pig and clean it up, but it'll jump right back into the muck and mire. And that's true about a pig. It doesn't want to be clean. Sometimes I think that's how I am as a Christian. I don't really want to be clean. Don't put a bow on me. Don't wash me up. Just let me live in the muck and mire of the world. But God says, I can't use you that way. I can't make you have an impact that way. I need to get that crud off of you. And that's what he said about Moses. Moses, you had the right idea. You knew that I called you to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. You knew I called you to do a work for me. But the way that you were doing the work was not the way I needed you to do the work. I needed you to trust me. Now here's Moses after those 40 years in the backside of the desert, getting refined by God and refined by God and refined by God and getting purer and purer. He walks up to this burning bush that's not being consumed, and God speaks to him as I'm speaking to you. And as clearly as you're hearing me, and probably clearer because I don't speak as clearly as I should. God clearly speaks to Moses in the burning bush. Now, wouldn't it be an amazing thing if you were out in the field or beside the road and you saw a bush on fire and you walked up to that bush and it was not being consumed and you heard God speak to you from that bush? Now, wouldn't it be an amazing thing? It'd be shocking, wouldn't it? I'm not sure anybody would believe that it happened. But you believe. I'm not sure anybody believed Moses. But he believed. He believed because God had refined his faith to the point where he would understand what was going on right here. Then God tells him of his plan. He says, Moses, I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to make you a great speaker. And Moses said, I did that. I got a speech impediment. That's what he says. Now, he may have been that said this way because I don't know what a speech impediment was. And God said, don't let that get in your way. I'll provide a speaker for you. You speak to your brother, and your brother will speak on your behalf. Is that what he said? Yeah. Is that what happened? Yes. Moses kept getting excused, but Lord, I can't do this. And God said, don't worry about you doing this. You're not going to do anything but speak on my behalf. That's all you're going to do. And Moses said, okay. So as Moses comes into Israel for the first time in 40 years, as God calls him to, the way he comes in, his brother and sister meet him as he's coming back out of the desert, and his brother becomes like a prophet of him, and Moses becomes like a prophet or a great spiritual leader to the nation of Israel.
And by faith, Moses approaches the Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And he said, "I'm not doing that." And Moses says that, "I'm going to take this rod that God gave me and I'm going to turn all the water into blood." And the water just didn't turn red, ladies and gentlemen. It turned into actual smelly, stinking blood. Because blood, when it's outside the body, it starts to smell real quick because it's decaying. And if it's decaying and if you're a bunch of fish swimming in water, you don't swim in blood, you swim in water. So all these fishes are dying that are in the blood. So now it even starts to stink more. In miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, Moses performs on God's behalf until Pharaoh finally said, "All right, I'm going to let Israel go." For 400 years, Israel had been a slave to the Egyptians. And now, he's finally letting his people go. But that's not the only thing that Moses needed help with. Now that he was letting the people go, he had to lead the people. And as we talked about in Sunday school, the Israelites were stiff-necked and hard-headed people. Hard-hearted people. They were hard to deal with. Kind of like us. Sometimes we're hard-headed. And we're hard-hearted. And we're hard to deal with. And God had refined them to be able to lead a million people, a mixed multitude of people. Now, wait a minute. He was by himself. He tried this on his own. It didn't work. He ran to the backside of the desert to flee from Pharaoh to save his life. And now here he is leading a million people to God's promised land. God's going to appear to him as a man and write in stone with his own finger the commandments that we call the Ten Commandments today. All of this took place because God kept refining and refining and cleaning up and purifying the life of Moses. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think Moses is God's special pet child. The Bible says he wasn't. In fact, he was a murderer, wasn't he? He took matters into his own hands. He ran away. If God could refine him to be his servant, then God could refine you and me to be his servant. I've never murdered anybody. There's times I might have come close. But I've never murdered anybody. I don't know that murder is any different to God than lying, because he said all sins are the same. But I think it's a little bit worse, don't you? I'd rather have somebody lie to me than murder me. I'd rather have somebody lie to me than murder my wife. I'd rather have someone lie to me than murder my children. I could go through that much easier. I don't like lying. I don't appreciate it when people lie to me. But I'd much rather have that than murder, because I find it more offensive. But God doesn't. So there's things that God needs to refine in your life and in my life so that we can become the servant He intends for us to be. Do you know what God's purpose is for your life? Do you know what God's trying to do with your life right now? If you say no, that's okay. Because you know what that means? God needs to take you and refine you just like He refined Moses. He thought He knew what it was. He would have never dreamt that He was going to lead the Israelites out like that. He thought it was going to be a war. But God didn't bring a war. God used Moses to bring miracles. Then He leads him to the promised land. But you know how I know Moses isn't God's pet child? And you know how I know that Moses is just like you and me? Because Moses slipped backwards a little bit. He let some of that muck and mire come into his life and he sinned. God said, "Speak to the rock and it'll give you living water," or "give you water." And this was the second time that God had done this. And Moses, the first time, he was supposed to smite the rock. The rock represents Jesus Christ. And the smiting represents Jesus' death. And after that, to flow living water for you and me. The second time that Moses goes to present water to the Israelites from that rock, he smites the rock the second time. And that gave the wrong illustration to the children of Israel. And God said, "Moses, you didn't obey me. You have sinned. And now you cannot go into the promised land." You know what that tells me? He's just like you and me. He got kind of messed up again. Thought he'd do what he thought was best. If he was the pet of God, God would have just overlooked it and let him go into the promised land. But like with you and me, God holds us accountable for how we behave. Not for salvation, but for what we do in this life. So every day Moses had to continue to walk with God and continue to walk with God and try to keep off all the muck and mire that the world of his day was trying to throw on him. And as he walked with God, God allowed him to do the work that he called him to do. And he led him, he fed him, he guided him as Moses obeyed him. That's all God wants from you and me. That's all he wants.
He wants for you and I to love him, obey him, and follow him so he can use us as he chooses. Before we get discouraged with times of problems, before we get discouraged over times of troubles, before we get discouraged in times of actions that we think we did the right thing, but it caused more problems than we ever dreamed. Before we get discouraged in times of unemployment, or before we get discouraged over financial issues, we need to ask God why is he allowing this to transpire, and we have to look and listen by faith to understand that he's trying to create a little bit of fire for us to be refined. Psalm 37, verse 34 says this, "Wait on the Lord and keep in his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." So sometimes I can't even see where he's leading me. Because here in this world, yet the wicked haven't been cut off. But I just need to continue to go by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Moses wasn't in the desert land for him to do what he wanted. Moses was in the desert land to be led by God. He brought him there because he wanted his undivided attention. Moses learned in the middle of the desert, every trial is a part of God's refining process, his purification process. So if you have a season of heaviness, or difficulties, or trials, or burdens, the Bible says rejoice and thank God for it. And allow the Holy Spirit to develop your heart as he had planned. Let me read again 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Let God make us what he wants us to be instead of us telling God what we think we should be. Father, I thank you for this simple little truth that you've given us. I ask that you make it clear in the minds of your people what has been said.